الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله There are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that from amongst the people, the closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most Durood-e Pak upon me. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. So my dear Islamic brothers, with regards to this blessed hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala states that the most relaxed person on the day of judgment will be the one who is the closest to the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He will have the least amount of fear. He will be the most comfortable that is sitting closest to the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And reciting the blessing Durood-e Pak is a means of being close to the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So from this that we can learn that reciting Durood-e Pak is an excellent act of worship because all good deeds will lead to paradise. All good deeds will lead to paradise, but reciting Durood-e Pak will lead to the owner of paradise. So please make habit, we've said it many, many times and we'll continue to say it, that in our lives, in our daily lives, we have a lot of instances where we're waiting for things to happen. You're waiting to see the doctor, you're waiting to see the dentist, you're waiting for the next customer, you drive a taxi, you're waiting for your next job, you run a shop and you're waiting for your next customer. All of these waiting things, they should not be wasted time. Whatever waiting time you have, don't make it wasted time. And one of the best ways to utilize your time is to send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like I said before, who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. My dear Islam brothers, we gain many benefits from animals as an act of expressing our gratitude for the animals that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us. Sharia has instructed that people who have the capability to do so act upon the Sunnah Ibrahimi and sacrifice halal animals for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla once a year. Therefore, upon fulfilling the condition on which sacrificing an animal becomes wajib, we should act upon this command of Sharia and happily sacrifice an animal as it contains many virtues and rewards for us. So we're talking about the Qurbani, my dear brothers, and it is upon us that we should do the Qurbani every year. If you are financially careful, then you should perform the Qurbani every year. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, and he's talking to his daughter, he said, O Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, get up and bring me your animal of sacrifice, because the first drop of blood that falls onto the ground will lead to the forgiveness of all of your sins. And on the day of judgment, the animal's blood and meat will be increased by 70 times, and that will be put on the mizan, the scale. Hazrat Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this a specific thing just for your family? Is it only your family that will benefit, or will all of the ummah benefit from this as well? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that my family will benefit from this, and all of the ummah will benefit from this as well. So this is the blessings of doing the Qurbani. So you heard that the sins of a person who sacrifices an animal will be forgiven before the first drop of blood hits the ground. You know, just think about the amount of effort that you should really do in getting your sins forgiven. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that before that first drop of blood hits the ground, inshaAllah azawajal, all of your sins are forgiven. Not only that, the meat and the blood, basically the weight of the animal will be multiplied 70 times. 70 times that weight will be multiplied, and that will be put on the scale of good deeds on the day of judgment. That will be put on the scale of good deeds on the day of judgment, and that will benefit you, obviously. Therefore, when it becomes wajib upon us to sacrifice an animal, unfortunate is he who does not sacrifice an animal. And what we normally do is nowadays we start to look for shortcuts as well. We try to look for the cheapest qurbani. Oh, I can get a share done for £15. I can get a share done for £12. I can get a share done for £20. When it comes to buying clothes, you look for the most expensive clothes. When it comes to buying shoes, you look for the most expensive shoes. When it comes to making a meal at your wedding, you look for a 3-course meal, 5-course meal, 7-course meal. But when it comes to sacrificing an animal for the pleasure of Allah, that is wajib upon you. What do? We search for the cheapest one. We search for the cheapest one, the £12 one, the £15, the £20 one. Whereas in fact, what we should be doing is we should be looking at our income and sacrificing the most expensive animal that we can afford. In this country, I see people that look for £12, £15 animals, £20 animals to sacrifice. Yet I have met people. I've met people in Pakistan where people are not as fortunate as we are, don't have as much money as we have. And I know that throughout the year, they put money to one side. And when the Eid comes, they sacrifice an animal equivalent to 1 month's wage. They save up throughout the whole of the year, and 1 month's wage, they use it on sacrificing an animal. Now you look at it yourself. You think to yourself, what is my 1 month's salary? How much do I earn in a month? Would I be able to sacrifice an animal that is that value? And yet we still look for the £15 one, the £20 one. It is stated in Bahar al-Shariah, volume 3, page 327, that sacrificing an animal is the blessed sunnah of Sayyidina Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam, which has remained so far for this ummah. So my dear Islam brothers, this is what Qurbani is all about. It's the sunnah of Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam. Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, states that sacrificing a specific animal on specific days with the intention of reward is called Qurbani. The act of sacrificing an animal refreshes our memory of the time when Sayyidina Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam and Sayyidina Hazrat Ismail al-Islam were acting upon the command of Allah Azawajal. As Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam was going to act upon the command of Allah Azawajal by sacrificing his son, and Hazrat Ismail al-Islam was going to remain patient upon the command of Allah Azawajal by allowing this help to be happened. The people who act upon the Sunnah Ibrahimi, according to their capability, will deserve great rewards. So this is in remembrance of when Allah Azza wa Jalla instructed Sayyidina Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam that sacrifice your son. Sacrifice your son. And because it was the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he was willing to do it. It was the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla and he was willing to do it. And not only that, his son, when he knew that his father was going to do it, he said to his father, my father, is it the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla? And he said, yes. He said, okay then. But today when we are told that the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla is to read our namaz 5 times a day, becomes hard for us. Becomes so hard for us. Just think, if we were told, if the ummah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were told that not only are you got to sacrifice an animal every year, but you got to sacrifice your first son. How hard would that be? This is a mercy and blessing that we are given this, and yet still we make excuses. Still we find it hard to sacrifice an animal in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, the one who sacrifices an animal, the one who sacrifices an animal will be rewarded for one good deed for every single hair of the animal sacrificed. Allahu Akbar. I cannot even calculate that how many hairs an animal would have. How many hairs does a sheep have? How many hairs does a goat have? How many hairs does a cow have? I couldn't even think about of a number. 10,000, 100,000, I haven't got a clue, but all I know is it's such a huge number. It's such a huge number, and yet we are told that you will get one good deed for every hair of the animal sacrificed. You know, unfortunately, I keep on saying this, that unfortunately our mind thinks about money. When it comes to money, it clicks. But when it comes to good deeds, our minds don't seem to work. If I was to say to you, sacrifice an animal, yeah, not now. If I say sacrifice an animal, and in 10 years time, 20 years, 30 years time, you'll get £1 for every hair on the animal, then tell me, will you or will you not sacrifice an animal? Even though you're not going to see the reward for 30 years or 40 years, you will still do it. You'll find the animal, the biggest animal, with the most hair, and you'll sacrifice it, and thinking, you know what, this is my investment. Then in 30 years time, I will get £1 for every single hair. But the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying to you that you will get one good deed for every single hair that is on that animal. And remember, if I was to say to you, you get £1 in 30 years time, in 30 years time I might disappear and not give you that £1. But this is a promise The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised us that you will get one good deed for every single hair that is on the animal. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, whoever happily sacrifices an animal with the intention of reward, then the qurbani will be a barrier between him and the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. But what is important in this hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever does it happily, do it happily, don't think it as a burden. People think, oh well, I've got to do it, you know, it's something I have to do. If I don't do it, then my family's going to be upset with me and this and that. Be happy about this. These are all blessings. You know what we fail to realize, that all the commands of Allah, all the commands of the Prophet of Allah, they're all blessings for us. They're all great opportunities for us. And yet we think it a burden. Our 5 times daily namaz, it is a gift from Allah, but for us it is a burden. Fasting during the month of Ramadan is a hukum from Allah, we think it's a burden. Paying the zakat cleanses our wealth, we think it's a burden. Performing the hajj removes all our sins, we think it's a burden. Performing the qurbani, each hair is a good deed for us. When the first drop of blood touches the ground, all of your sins are forgiven, we think it's a burden. All of these things are blessings for us. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, on the day of Eid, no person performs an action that is more beloved to Allah azza wa jal than flowing the blood of a sacrificial animal. Allahu Akbar. On the day of judgment, the animal will come with its horns, its hair, and its hoofs, and the sacrifice is accepted in the court of Allah azza wa jal even before the blood reaches the ground. Therefore, sacrifice an animal with happiness. Again, the emphasis on being happy that you're sacrificing this animal. It is a show your happiness. That you're happy that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the ability to sacrifice an animal in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. These are all blessings from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Dear Islam brothers, it is a moment of concern for us, for those people who are capable of performing the wajib qurbani but do not do so. It is stated in Fatwa Amjadiyah, Volume 3, page 315. If qurbani is wajib upon you, and you have shari nisab and you have that, but you do not have the money to perform the qurbani. So qurbani is wajib upon you and you do not have the money to perform the qurbani. Then we're told that you need to take a loan. Qarza, let take the loan or sell something in order to sacrifice the animal. That is how important it is. And it is wajib upon us. Please remember this. And it's not just wajib on you and you say, well, I'll do it for all my family. Some people do wajib for Mr. and Mrs. Your garwala is separate for them and it's separate for you. Do your own, do their own. Again, this is a means by way Muslims, what we try to do, we try and save money. Do one share for 10 people. Do one share. You can do it for Isa alayhi salam, for people that have passed away. But when you're doing what is wajib for you, it is one share for you or one animal for you. And if it is wajib upon your family members, it is one share or one animal for them as well. Allahu Akbar. So my dear Islamic brothers, Allah Azza wa Jalla has created all of the creation for some purpose. All of the creation is there for a purpose. Similarly, my dear Islam brothers, animals have been created for a certain purpose. If we look at animals, we're able to gain meat from them, milk from them. And from the milk, we're able to create yogurt, butter, and other items. From the skin, we're able to make warm clothes and shoes. Other than this, animals are there so that we can have a business, we can buy them and we can sell them. We can eat from the meat of the animals. These are all blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. And indeed, there is a place for you to ponder in the example of the cattle. We provide you to drink from what is in their bellies, pure milk, from between dung and blood, which is soothing to swallow for the drinkers. It is mentioned with regards to this particular verse, that this verse shows us the glory and the divine signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That inside the animal, inside the cow for example, or inside the goat, there is only one place where it eats. It goes into the stomach. So whatever it eats, grass or hay or whatever it eats, it all goes into the stomach. But it is the glory of Allah Azza wa Jalla that from that one place inside the stomach, blood is taken out. And blood is passed around all of the animal. From that one place inside that stomach where all that food is, what else is taken out? Dung. The dirt of the animal is taken out from that same place. And another thing that is taken out from there is milk. This is the glory of Allah. So when you get a glass of milk, it has no blood in it. It has no look of blood in it. It has no smell of dung in it. It's pure for you to drink. And this is again the glory of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if only we realize. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us many signs about this. And this is just one side that if you think about it, that food goes inside the stomach of the cow or the goat. It all gets mixed up. It all gets chewed up. But out comes the blood to one side. Out comes the dung to another side. But you are given pure milk from there. It has no smell of blood. It has no taste of blood. It has no smell or taste of dung. It is pure milk for you to benefit from. This is a mercy and blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib. The blessed Sufis have said, O human being, just like your Lord Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you pure milk, He gives you pure milk. Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you pure milk, which is free from any mixtures of dung and blood. Allahu Akbar. The Sufis go on to say that this milk that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you, it doesn't have any dung in it. It doesn't have any blood in it. It has nothing inside it. It's pure milk. The Sufis go on to say that you should perform your ibadat, your worship of your Lord in such a manner that it is free from any mixtures of showing off as well. Again, my dear Islam brothers, when we do our namaz in front of everybody, yeah, we're in the masjid, we're there for such a long time, and we're in ruku, and we're so good, yeah, and we spend so long there, and people think, subhanallah, look at his sajda, look how long he's spending in this, look how many nafls he's in, look how long he's in the masjid, you know what, I'm to lock the masjid, and yeah, he's still there, yeah, what kind of person is this? And yet that same person when he's at home is like a pecking bird, you know, hitting the ground as quick as he can to read his namaz, do the salam, and runs away. So what is this? What is this? You know, we should not be showing off, you know, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is seeing you in the masjid. Allah Azza wa Jalla is seeing you at home. You're not hiding from Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's impossible. Sometimes, you know, we close the doors and think nobody can see us. Sometimes we turn off the light and think nobody can see us. Sometimes we go to a different town and think nobody knows us here. Yeah, and we can do what we want. Allah knows exactly what you're doing. Allah knows where you've been. Allah knows what you're looking at. Allah knows what social media pages you're looking at. He knows what websites you're looking at. He knows everything. You can delete the history on your phone. You can delete the history on your computer. But it's in your book of deeds. And it's there permanently. You can make a fool out of me. You can make a fool out of all your family. But on the day of judgment, everything will be lifted up. You know, as Muslims, what happens is that there used to be in this country, there used to be a saying, brushing it under the carpet. And what that meant many years ago, probably about 20, 30 years ago, they didn't have wall-to-wall carpets. They didn't have wall-to-wall carpets. Like in maybe in India, Pakistan, you have rugs in the middle of the room. That's what they used to have here. And what happened was when the women used to sweep up, they used to sweep up, and what should have happened, they sweeped up, and then they used to get all of the dirt and put it in the shovel and take the dirt out. But some people were lazy. And what they used to do, they used to sweep up, they lift the corner of the carpet and brush all the dirt under the carpet rather than taking it outside. Yeah. But what happens sooner or later, many, many years later, that carpet is lifted and you see all the dirt underneath it. That's what we're doing with our sins. That's what we're doing with our sins. We're brushing it under the carpet, thinking it doesn't exist. We're trying to forget about the sins. We remember all the good deeds, we forget about the sins, we can't remember this, so we brush under the carpet, forget about it. But one day, my dear Islam brothers, that carpet is going to get lifted. And all of your deeds are going to be visible on that day. And in the same way, we remember our good deeds. Yeah? You ask someone, have you performed the Hajj? Gee, alhamdulillah, I performed the Hajj last year, I performed it in 2010, I performed it in 2006, I performed it in... And they'll give you the whole history. Yeah? And they'll tell you how many times they performed Umrah. They'll tell you how many itikaf they sat in. They'll tell you how many Quran ayat they've read. They tell you all the good deeds that they've done. But they don't tell you what sins they've committed today. They don't tell you any of the sins that they committed today. They tell you all the good deeds. But as Muslims, what we should do is we should remember our sins. Because you do not know if them good deeds are accepted. You don't know if them good deeds are accepted. But one thing is a guarantee. Those sins that you've committed, you'll be accountable for them on the day of judgment. So be very wary of that. Coming back to the topic of animals, about being cruel to animals and looking after animals and the blessing of animals. Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Sulaiman Darani, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, stated that once I was riding on a donkey and I hit the donkey two or three times. The donkey lifted his head, looked towards me, and he said, "O Abi Suleiman, there will be accountability on the day of judgment for hitting me. Now it is up to you. You hit me more or you hit me less." I then said, "From now on, I will never hit that animal again." And again, in this particular waqi, you see that when you hit an animal, you're going to be held accountable for it on the day of judgment. And nowadays we see in streets where children, you know, when they're kicking dogs and kicking cats and, you know, messing about with animals, and they think they're being funny and doing these sort of things. But this again is a sin. To show mercy to animals is what we should also be doing. We should not be cruel to animals. In the same way, back in Pakistan and India, people buy animals and they bring them home, yeah? Again, that doesn't happen here. But if you're in that situation, you need to look after that animal. Feed that animal, look after that animal, rather than dragging it here and dragging it here and being cruel to it and hitting it and riding it and causing all sorts of pain to the animal. But we're not in that position here. But at the same time, we need to show mercy to animals. Generally, we need to show mercy to animals. Once Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, walked past some youngsters of Quraysh who had tied a bird and were making it a target by throwing arrows towards it. When they saw Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu ta'ala, coming towards them, they began to disperse. He said, "Who has done this? May Allah Azza wa Jal curse those who do these types of acts. Verily, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has cursed that person who plays archery by making a living thing the target." And again, you see children that there's a cat, they might tie up a cat, they might tie up a dog, and from a distance they're throwing stones at this animal. This is cruelty. This is cruelty to animals. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbid this. This is the beautiful deen of Islam, that not only does it say do not be cruel to each other, but the deen of Islam says don't be cruel to animals as well. But again, we don't care. Sayyidina Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala stated, "We were once traveling with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he went for the call of nature. We saw a sparrow who had two baby sparrows. So we grabbed them. The sparrow came and began to flap its wings." So basically, they gathered the baby sparrow out of the nest. Yeah, and the mother was flapping its wings, panicking. And this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this and he said, "Who has caused the sparrow inconvenience in the matter of its baby sparrows? Return its baby sparrows to it." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he also saw a whole of ants that we had burned. There was ants there. And they had set fire so that the ants would go away. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not do this. Other than Allah azza wa jal, the owner of fire, no one is allowed to hurt anyone or anything by means of fire." Little ants. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cared for them. The baby in the nest, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cared for it. Whereas when we see ants and we see these things and we're squashing them and killing them and getting them out of the way, and if any animal comes in our garden, if any cat comes in our garden or our yard, we get the stone out and we're throwing it at that animal. If there's a bird though that we don't like, we throw it out of it because it can't come near our plants and it'll ruin our plants. And we're throwing stones at the animal and hurting that animal. This is against the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should try to stop those who are cruel to animals by following the seerah of our pious predecessors. And if we see anyone being cruel, we should try and stop them according to our ability. Nowadays, we see people hitting cats and dogs and all these things, and we should try and stop it. Because part of your iman is when you see something wrong, trying to stop it. Trying to stop something is part of your iman. If you see someone doing something wrong, you should try and stop it. Whatever it is, not just being cruel to animals, but anything. If you see something wrong, then try and stop it. If you cannot stop it with your hand, then try and stop it with a letter by sending the person a message and saying, "You know, brother, I saw you being cruel to that cat. Please don't be cruel to that cat in the future." And if your iman is not that strong, then at least in your heart, think, you know, that what this person is doing is wrong. What this person is doing is wrong. He should not be cruel to his animals. And we're told that this is the weakest among, but unfortunately, we don't even think that that person is doing wrong. It's okay, isn't it? It's only an animal. It's only a cat. It's only a dog. What's wrong with it? Yeah? And pick up a stone and I'll throw one as well. We don't even think that it's wrong to hurt an animal. Even though we are allowed to bring up animals, rear animals, you know, where people have pets in their houses, you're allowed to do that. But even then, you cannot be cruel to animals. You must feed them, you must give them water and drink and make sure. You know, you hear many, many stories of people having animals that they've left locked up. Right? They've gone on holiday for 2 weeks and they leave the animal at home and the animal starves. They don't care. This is being cruel and we shouldn't be doing like this. It is narrated, a beautiful waqi'ah this, mighty brothers, that there was once a thirsty person He reached a well and he climbed down the well to drink water. This well didn't have a bucket. He didn't have a bucket, so he climbed all the way down to the bottom of the well. And he climbed down to the well, and when he got there, he drank water. And he felt better. He felt quenched. He came up and he got out of the well and he saw a dog there. And the dog had its tongue out, its mouth open. The dog was very, very thirsty as well. And he thought to himself that, you know, this dog, it can't climb down the well. I can climb down the well. The dog can't climb down the well. So he was wearing leather socks. He took his socks off. He climbed down the well. He filled up the socks with water. And he brought it up and he gave the water to the dog. Allahu Akbar. This act was so liked by Allah Azza wa Jalla that he forgave all of his sins and granted him entry into paradise. Allahu Akbar. When the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will we get reward for showing mercy towards animals in the same way that this person showed mercy towards the animals and all of his sins were forgiven? Will we also get this reward? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, showing mercy to any living being is worthy of reward. So it's a duty upon us to show mercy to animals. It is mentioned on page 142 in the book Muntakhib Hadith, published by Maktabat al-Madina, that from this hadith we learn that Allah Azza wa Jalla has authority to do whatever He wills. If He wills, He forgives a person because of a small act according to His grace and favor. In His court, the weight and quantity of an action is not looked at. Rather, in His court, good intention and sincerity are valued. If someone commits even a small act of goodness with good intention and sincerity, then Allah Azza wa Jalla rewards that person with forgiveness, divine pleasure, and awards him Jannatul Firdaus. There is a great saying that the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal looks for a reason to forgive a person. And that Allah Azza wa Jal does not ask a price to forgive them. Allah Azza wa Jal looks for a person. So we are told here that your sincerity, your intention should be pure. So no matter how big an act you do, if your intention is not pure, you won't get the reward. For example, if you say, okay, I'm going to rebuild a masjid, but I want all of Bradford to know about it. What is your intention? But unfortunately, nowadays, Muslims, they want that fame. They want people to know that they perform good deeds. I remember going to one masjid, and the Imam Sahib, he said, on the time of Jummah, just before the khutbah is when the masjid is full. Yeah, the masjid is full at that time. Everybody's in the masjid. But what happens in a lot of masjids, they're doing ilans at that time, announcements. Abdullah gave £10, Ali gave £20, Khalid gave £30, and they're making these announcements. So the Imam Sahib said to the committee, he said, look, that is the time when the masjid is full. That is the time when everybody's in the masjid. Instead of making announcements at that time, let me teach them a sunnah. Let me teach them a dua, because they're all in the masjid at that time. Because you know, many people, they come last minute. Yeah? At Jummah time, they come last minute to the masjid. So the Imam Sahib said, let me teach them. So the committee said, okay, fair enough. Teach the people. So for 3 or 4 weeks, there was no announcements. And he taught people du'as. He taught people sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The committee came to him and said, next week, don't do that. Next week, we're going to do announcements. And when he asked why, they said, our contributions have gone down. Our income has gone down in the masjid. We're not making as much money now. So again, this makes you think that are we giving money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla so that everybody will know about it? Yeah, so that I can announce on Madani channel that, oh, I give £100 to Fazana Medina Bradford, that I give £50 to this, and so everybody in Bradford should know this. Is this our intention? If you give a small amount with a good intention, then you'll be rewarded for it. That this person, he did a small deed. He gave a dog, yeah, he gave a dog, a thirsty dog, some water. Just by giving that thirsty dog some water with the good intention, a pure intention, Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive all the sins and enter them into paradise. So we need to ask ourselves, when we do a good deed, why are we doing it? Are we doing it so that my family know about it? Or are we doing it to please Allah Azza wa Jalla? These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, my dear brothers. When we do any good deed, whatever the good deed is, are we doing it to show off? Or are we doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Are we doing it so that my accountability can be easy on the day of judgment? So that when I enter that dark and lonely grave on my own, I'm going to be on my own in that dark and lonely grave. I'm not going to be able to phone you. I'm not going to get anybody to help me. Nothing at all. I'm going to be on my own. And the only thing that will help me then is my good deeds. But I will only have good deeds if I did them with the right intention. If I did them with sincerity, rather than doing it for show off. And that's again another question that we need to ask. That when we're performing the qurbani and we send the qurbani back home, and maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the tawfiq, maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the money to perform a qurbani of an expensive animal. Maybe you can perform the qurbani of an animal that costs 1 lakh rupees or 2 lakh rupees, for argument's sake, just for example. But do you announce it to everybody in Bradford, you know what, back home in my village, I did a sacrificial animal of an animal that cost 2 lakh rupees. And he did it for 3 lakh rupees and he did it for 4 lakh rupees. Why are you doing this? Are you doing it to show the people here that how wealthy you are? It is better to sacrifice a small animal with sincerity. So again, ask yourself, I'm not saying don't sacrifice an animal. Yes, do it. What Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Sacrifice 1 lakh, 2 lakh, 3 lakh animal, no problem. But do it with the right intentions. And that should be for all our good deeds. That whatever good deeds we do, we shouldn't be doing it for showing off. Help people in your family, but don't make them feel down that, oh, I'm helping you. Find ways to help people in the family that doesn't, you know, lower their status, their own self-respect. Everybody has self-respect. But what we do is when we help people, we want people to know about it. Oh, I got your daughter married. I got your son married. I paid for the wedding. I did this for you. I did that for you. Maybe you did. But you won't get the reward from it if you're doing it with that kind of intention that you want to make him lose his self-respect. Help your family, help the poor, help the needy, help these people, but do it with good intentions. So my dear Islam brothers, I pray to Allah that Allah give all of us the tawfiq and the ability to remember the sunnah of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, remember the sacrifices that he made. We need to think about what sacrifices we are making. What sacrifices are we making for the deen of Islam? What sacrifices are we making? We can't even get out of bed in the morning for Fajr. You know, that is too much for us. Forget making sacrifices. And sometimes it makes me think that if Sayyidina Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam could see us now, if Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu could see us now and the sacrifices that they made and were willing to make, what would they think about us? These people? They're not even willing to get out of bed in the morning for Fajr. These people are too busy eating at Zuhur. These people are too busy making money at Asr. These people are chilling when it comes to Maghrib. They're eating in restaurants when it comes to Isha. They haven't got time to read the namaz. Is this what we've become? And we need to remember that it's because of the sacrifices, not only of these people that I just mentioned, it's the sacrifices of all the pious predecessors. All the pious predecessors that made them sacrifices, is because of their sacrifices that we are here today. All the people that are in this room today, if you are a Sayyid, except for the Sayyids, every single one of you, go back in your family history. 100 years, 150 years, 200 years. And what will you find? You'll find a non-Muslim. And somebody sacrificed their time, left their home, came out and met your family members and invited them to Islam. And because of their efforts, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, 200 years, you are sat here in the masjid today. But if that person, nah, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to go and give Nekiki Dawat. Yeah, I'm going to go and play football. I'm going to go and visit my friends. I want to start this business. I want to get my children married first. I want to make that koti back home. I want to do all these things. And then I'll think about it. If that person had that mindset, we might not be Muslims today. In the same way that that person made that sacrifice and brought our ancestors to the fold of Islam, it is now our duty. It is now our duty to spread the deen of Islam and work for the deen of Islam. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah that Allah give me and you the tawfiq and the ability to think about what I said. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.